This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you into the 8 o'clock hour on this Sunday morning. Hope all is well with you wherever you may be around our area. Thanks for carrying us with this. If you're moving around the area, letting us ride along with you on this Sunday morning. Of course, Braves going to be in action later on today. They're back home where they are home, going to finish up a homestand, 120 game time, and look to continue in their winning ways after getting a big win at home last night, a come-from-behind win, dramatic win over the Milwaukee Brewers. They're going to have a 120 game time. Mike Fulton-Evich will be on the mound for them, looking to get that first win, looking to just get back on track. And pitch the way we're used to seeing Mike Fulton-Evich pitch and have those kind of results once again. So he's the starter for the Braves today. Brandon Woodruff, who is a 6-1 for Milwaukee, will be the starter for them. Braves get a win walk-off style home run from Freddie Freeman last night. Austin Riley continues to get hits, got two more hits last night. The Braves win it by a score of 4-3. Riley is turning into a bit of a matinee idol out there. He's showing up. And it seems like he has no intention of getting that bus and riding back around over to Gwinnett County. Looks like he wants to stay where he is in SunTrust and stay with that big league club. He's had quite a week, and it's called a lot of excitement for Braves fans to go out and see this guy we've heard a lot about and see him go out and play. We're going to talk about him and the Braves later on this hour. Mark Simon's going to join us, and we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about the NBA playoffs some. And what do you think about what you saw from this Warriors team last night? 110-99 winners over Portland. And, I've said I think that both of these series will be five-game series. And maybe the way things started last night, I said, well, this will be the game Portland's going to get. Didn't happen that way. Tailed off. Portland only scoring 13 points there in the third quarter. Golden State walks back into it, and they come away with the victory. And now they have a commanding 3-0 lead, looking at bringing a sweep. And when they play the fourth game of this series coming up tomorrow in Portland. And Portland had to have certain things happen consistently for them to get the win. You know, they had to have big games from Damian Lillard. They got 19 points, and not the biggest of games from him. You got to have more. You know, C.J. McCollum with 23, you just have more from those guys if you're going to go out and you're going to run with a team that can put up the points and produce the kind of offense that Golden State can. And that's without Kevin Durant, who, by the way, we're still not sure when we're going to get to see him play. We're not sure. Just when. We thought originally that, his injury wasn't going to be something that would keep him sidelined for an extended period of time, and he would be back for the Western Finals. Not back. And looks like he's going to miss the Western Finals altogether. And you wonder if he's back for the NBA Finals, how will he be? How effective will he be? Well, I think Golden State kind of sending a message right now, what they're doing in this series, that, we're here to win it with him or without him. Because remember, you got a nucleus of guys who won a championship before Durant showed up. Draymond Green kind of showed that himself last night, showing that from his position as a forward position, he saw a triple-double. Don't forget about me. 20 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. He had 4 steals. He can ramp his game up a little bit more and make the difference. Not saying he's making up everything from Durant being there, but, if he's doing that and the Splash Brothers have their thing working, which Steph Curry threw in 36 last night, that makes them formidable and makes them a team that could still go out and win it all. Now, from the other perspective, from the East perspective, we got this Milwaukee team that people are finding out about. And they're finding out that there's more to them than just the Greek Freak. A lot of people say, okay, they got Giannis. There's more to this team than just Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's a whole lot more to this team. And I think they're really showing it in this series against Toronto. there's more than just scoring. They're great. There's great defense that they play. And there's more than just their starters. They can go down the bench and get great contributions from so many different sources with this team. And I think that's, if you're not looking at the whole picture, you know, for this team, you're missing out on a lot when you talk about Milwaukee. A number of contributors that can do great things for this team, and that's why they are where they are right now. And it's tip your cap also to the head coach, to Mike Budenholzer. And we know Coach Bud, obviously, from his time here in Atlanta, but for what he's been able to do and the way he has worked this team and worked the bench and gotten everybody included and the difference that it's made. He's done an outstanding job with it. And what else can you say except, you know, they're looking like the team to beat. Curious to see if Toronto can win a game from them today and just add some things to try to add some balance to that series. Last game out, Milwaukee won it 125-103. I mean, they just ran up big points. I think it was 64 points they scored in the first half of the game. Quite a performance by that team. So they're doing that. We wonder what happens next with them, if what Toronto can do to kind of counter, you know, what this team did. You know, Kawhi Leonard had 31 points. He needs some other people to go along with him. That's what he needs. He's going to do more coming up. Hey.
This is considered a Bob Hope walk-on.
Yeah, it is. Bob Hope walk-on. Or why can't it be a Hitchcock?
Whatever.
It can be a
I came in specifically to deliver a message along the lines of what you're talking about. I got to put the hat on real quick, and I'm going to take it off.
Okay.
This is what they're saying in the barbershop about Coach Bud.
About Coach Bud.
Fair or not.
Okay.
He is the latest version of Eric Spoelstra. He is benefiting from having a superstar land in his lap. I'm going to leave you to discuss that and talk to the folks at the barbershop. But – yes, and we know what he did here in Atlanta.
Yeah, right.
But this is the national conversation in the barbershops.
Okay.
Fair or not. And Will, do you think he'll be able to keep the Greek Freak there in Milwaukee? I'm gone.
Yeah, he comes in and he leaves that, and like he makes this exit. He leaves this hat on. He's going to put another hat on over there. I mean, he's just you know, and there he goes again. See, next week he's over here for keeps, and he stays. He comes over here and throws a little something out there, and then he splits. You notice how he did that. Talking about the barbershop conversation. And, you know, okay, if you want to throw that out there, I don't know if it's totally fair because Giannis Antetokounmpo was already there before Coach Bud got there. I think the fact that he came there solidifies the fact that Giannis is going to be in Milwaukee. I think because he knows who Coach Bud worked with in San Antonio. And that would be Tim Duncan. And I think he wants to benefit from that and coaching a coach who's had a chance to work with a player and have that kind of success. Some people would say, does he want to go to a big market? Well, you know, look at what Coach Bud did along with Coach Pop and, of course, you know, Duncan and the crew in San Antonio. Not a major market, played some major basketball. So it's capable to happen in Milwaukee. I mean, I talk to people all the time. I said, you know, Milwaukee for a time, people forgot there was an NBA franchise in Milwaukee. You never heard about the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, for a while, they just kind of, I won't say they fell off the map, but for a number of years, they weren't relevant. We didn't mention them very much. They're very much that now. You know, they through drafting and through having, you know, the proper means and doing things in the right way. And I think that's the thing that gives us a little heart here in Atlanta last week. Despite drawing 8-10, it's still possible to put together this formidable team that can be a contender. You don't have to get this one, you know, generational player. Yes, you know, Zion Williamson is that, without a doubt. He has the potential, looks like he's going to be that next thing that everybody knows in marketing, and everybody's talking about this shoe deal that's on the way for him and all that, just waiting for him to have his name called and booth with All-Star rolling together for him. And, you know, he's this transformational character that we're looking to have. Milwaukee's doing that, and they got a guy that probably a lot of people went on their radar, kind of like a Tim Duncan. I'm living and working in North Carolina when Tim Duncan comes to Wake Forest. There was no celebration or no hullabaloo when that guy showed up at Wake Forest. People barely knew who he was, you know. But he goes there and he works and he develops a natural shot blocker and a guy that plays behind this mask that facial expressions don't change. He can do something great. He can do something bad. You never know by looking at him. And he just continued to grow and grow and stayed all 4 years. He could have gone after his first year at Wake Forest. He wanted to be a college player. He wanted to play those 4 years and then go to the NBA. And we all know what happened with there at San Antonio. And Giannis is kind of a different story, you know, but he's come on and people are becoming more and more aware of him. And as I talked at the outset of this postseason, with LeBron James and his broad, big shadow not involved in the postseason, it's a chance for some new faces to really grab hold and grab your attention. And if you weren't paying attention to Milwaukee and Giannis Antetokounmpo before, you are now. You know who they, you know who he is. You know who his teammates are. We certainly know who his coach is. But I think there are a couple of players who've really seized this opportunity. Nikola Jokic is another one who really seized the opportunity. And by the way, Denver would have been a better match for Golden State than Portland has been. I think Denver would have been a much more formidable match. Not saying they beat Golden State, but I think they would have been a better match for them. Nevertheless, there was another player who just grabbed the attention and said, you know, LeBron's not here, but I'm going to step in here and I'm going to show you what I can do. So that's been the real plum, I think, of this playoff season, is seeing some new faces emerge. And I think we're going to see more and more of the ones we're seeing in Milwaukee. Good to see one of our hometown folks on that team too, Malcolm Brogdon, who's making a great contribution. You know, played his high school ball here locally at GAC. So great to see him play a pivotal role and a pivotal part in this Milwaukee team. They're going to play game three of their series coming up this evening, 7 o'clock start time. They're going to play up in Toronto as the Raptors are, you know, and think about the Raptors and the frustration that has to be setting in for those players in that locker room, for that fan base, if they're not able to get to the final, because what was it that was preventing them from get to the finals in recent years? It was LeBron James and Cleveland. You know, it's always couldn't get past LeBron. And now LeBron is gone. LeBron's not even, he's not even in the playoffs, period. And here he is right now, and we had an opportunity to just see. Is he even in the country? He's gone out of the country, and these guys, they may not make it in. They may not make it in, because of the new face and the new power that is rising in the East, and that is Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Believe it. It's happening. Next hour, we're going to really dive into the NBA more. You know, it's Bo Estes from NBA.com is going to join us, and we'll talk more about that. Well, there's something else that's happening. Another big guy who's casting a big shadow, and that's Brooks Koepka. Man, is it a victory lap today? I think so. Let's talk about that and more. A little history coming up later today. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99TheGame.com.
It would have been really hard to shoot 400 or 500. I don't know if anybody did that today or not, but it was a difficult day. And anytime the wind's going to be blowing 15 at Bethpage Black, you're in for a real test. I feel confident going in tomorrow.
And he should feel confident. That is Brooks Koepka. He is your leader. 7-shot lead headed for the final round of the PGA Championship today. Sam Crenshaw, welcome you back into Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com on this game day Sunday morning. This final round of the PGA Championship, and this guy is large and in charge. And when I say large, he is that. He's a big guy. He crushes the golf ball. And, man, the thing he's been able to do is around the greens. And he didn't putt exceptionally well yesterday, but it's well enough to maintain that 12-shot lead. He's playing together with Jordan Spieth, who shot a 72 yesterday. So nobody's, like, giving chase to him. And even though he didn't pick up a stroke, he's still in great position, just as he was when the day began. Dustin Johnson is at 5-under. You got three Americans at 5-under. Dustin Johnson, Luke Liston, Harold Varner, the third, who shot his second consecutive round of 67 and is a share of second place. But everyone is chasing Koepka, who just had another amazing round yesterday. The rough there you've seen, you know, when you get off the fairway at this course, it's punishment. Because if you end up in that, you got to muscle your way out. And just to get back in the fairway or just to get in a playable area. And he's been able to do that. He's had the strength to pull the ball out of that and still get it on the green and give himself a chance to score. And that's the big thing that you want. Some people feel like today is going to be a victory lap. I've seen it called a coronation, if you will. But he's not celebrating. His mindset is to go out and play full tilt and play his best golf and not let up. That's what he says going into today's final round. A lot of history, if he can do it, you know, seven shots. It's the largest seven shots, 54 hole leads, the largest PGA championship history. 10th player since the 1900s, lead a major by seven shots. Then the previous nine all went on to win it. So he really would have to come back to the field, something terrible today, for any of those at 500 par to try to have a chance at reeling him in. He was in position to become the second golfer to win back-to-back PGAs. Tiger Woods has done that. Five wire-to-wire PGA winners, Hal Sutton, Raymond Floyd, Jack Nicklaus, Bobby Nichols. He has a chance to join that group as well. First golfer to win back-to-back PGAs and back-to-back U.S. Opens in a career. He has so much history on the line today. And yet you say, okay, well, he's got no competition. There's nobody out there with him. The course is what you play. And I guess that's what you remind yourself when you play golf. Yeah, there's another person there beside you, but you really are playing the course. And that's the thing that gets you about what he's doing, because everything you heard before the round started, before the tournament started, was how difficult this course is going to be on the golfers, and that 4 or 5 under would probably be the winning score. That's what we kept hearing. Todd Lewis joined us here on Sports Radio 929 The Game this week. He's with Golf Channel. And, you know, he was talking about how difficult and how tough the rough is, and, you know, the conditions, the length of the course. I was just going to be so difficult for the world's best golfers, and it has been. But for some reason, it's not bothered Superman at all. Brooks Koepka is definitely that, seems to be unfazed by what's around him and just so, so focused. And, yes, we would love to have seen a final round combination with he and Tiger Woods today. Absolutely. Absolutely. But they played together the first two rounds of the tournament, and Tiger's game clearly wasn't there this week, and Koepka's was. And so that's the reason why we don't have him, and Tiger's gone after the first 2 days. He's sailing on the good ship, I suppose, and rested up with everything that I've heard and seen. He will probably next play in a couple of weeks at the Jack Nicklaus event up at Mirfield, up in Ohio, the Memorial. So we look to see him there. But right now, you know, it's history that we're looking at today. With Koepka, and I'm sure the folks down at Florida State, as he's a Florida State guy, will be excited to see him go out and win and lift that big, the Wanamaker Trophy. That's one of the biggest. That thing's huge. To lift that up and win at the end of the day as the winner of the PGA. What's this dude to set up his year for what he can do? He didn't Tiger beat him out at the Masters. You know, he's not around to duel him here. What's next? U.S. Open, British Open. Does the rivalry continue? Do we have a bit of a rivalry? Can that happen? And is it really fair? And then people say, well, that's Tiger Woods. Yeah, it's not like in his prime Tiger Woods. And he's figured out a way to do some things, you know, at his age, speaking of Tiger now, to still give him a chance to compete. It has to all come together and be right. It all came together at Augusta. And clearly it didn't happen this week. You know, up at Bethpage Black, it didn't have his putter going. You know, and all through this thing, this new incarnation of Tiger Woods has really been his iron play, his play from the fairway. He's been able to, you know, just laser in and put the ball in just the right places. And he's played some places where he's comfortable and had a lot of success in the past. And, yeah, he's played well at Bethpage, but he hadn't played as many times as he's played Augusta. That last round at Augusta, Tiger could have played that thing blindfolded. I mean, he knows that course just that well and where to place the ball to get the kind of results that you have. He knew the layout of the greens. He knows, you know, the Sunday pin placements and that type of thing. This is different. This is different. And we wonder how things shape up now as The U.S. Open will be coming up. They're going to be playing that out at Pebble Beach. It's another place where he has had some success and should feel, you know, at home. And we'll see what happens there. Maybe that'll be the place where he and Brooks Koepka will be lined up and can go toe-to-toe. I think in the long run, this is good for golf. And yesterday, before the Sports Insider, I mean, Dan Kamal talked about how, you know, even though people are still talking Tiger, although Brooks Koepka is doing great things and he's the story. And I agree with that. And I think that's the best thing that can happen in this second coming of Tiger Woods is for the golfers like Brooks Koepka to be seen playing together with him in meaningful events, in key events on Sunday afternoons. And we're not getting it today. We got it in Augusta. We're not getting it today. But to me, those are the best parts that can come from Tiger's return to the tour and being successful and playing and showing us bits of the old Tiger. After all, that's what has inspired today's golfer. The guys grew up watching that and emulating that. And obviously, Brooks Koepka did watch and take great notes at all the things that he saw Tiger Woods do growing up. He's a bigger guy. He can hit the ball farther. And Tiger was driving the ball well the two rounds that he played. Not, you know, he's finding not staying in the fairway, but his length, you know, was there. But even with his length, Koepka's bombing out past him. He can do that. Koepka, thankfully, has had the combination of it all today. And so we're reading some stories this morning, and they're talking about things that have collapsed and things that have taken and bringing names from the past. The Greg Norman collapse, Jordan Spieth's meltdown. In 2016, I don't see that happening today. I mean, this guy's a machine, just methodical. He's got the power to go longer than Tiger. And when I think about a methodical golfer, I think of Nick Faldo in his prime, just a guy who is just steady Eddie and, you know, just methodical in his approach and his execution. And that's what we're seeing today. Now, if he goes out and misses a bunch of fairways and ends up in the rough stuff a bunch, you know, that could make things interesting because he can score a bogey. He did three times yesterday. So it can happen to him. But, you know, it would have to happen a lot, really have to happen a lot. And somebody coming behind him in that next group, Dustin Johnson, would have to go out and just really put together an incredible round. If anyone in the group that's right behind him could do it, I think that he's be the one with the best chance. Dustin Johnson has had three excellent rounds for this tournament. He's at a 69, a 67, another 69 yesterday. And, you know, that has him at 5 under par, three rounds, you know, under 70. And that's something Koepka can't say because he had a 63 and a 65 the first 2 days, round of 70 yesterday. So Dustin Johnson's game is there, and he's doing what we would think under normal circumstances would win on a course that's set up for a PGA that's made extra tough and extra challenging for the golfers. We've seen this tournament. If you watched over the years, they played at courses where the winner was, you know, two under par, you know, one under par. Even I think I watched it 1 year and the winner was like one over par because of the challenging setups that they have for the courses to make it very difficult and then challenge the golfers in different ways. We'll see if anything happens weather-wise today. Sometimes that may change the situation. But if the weather's clear and it's been what it's been, and it looked like it was going to be a little bit cooler up there earlier in the week, that hasn't been the case now going into this weekend. There's nothing out there, folks. To me, there's nothing out there to stop Brooks Koepka from going and finishing things off today. If he does as he said he's going to do, keep things down and keep the foot down and don't let up and get the win and keep it on the gas. That's what he says he's going to do. He doesn't want to ease up and start celebrating, although other people are saying that's all it's going to be. The final round is just going to be a celebration. He says not so. He's going to go out there and do his best. His tee time is at 2:35 today. He's going to tee off at 2:35. And he will be paired with Harold Varner III. Harold Varner III. Will be paired with Brooks Koepka for the final round today. So something to watch as they play today in the final round of the PGA Championship up at Bethpage, New York. That should be great to watch. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into baseball, talk about what our Braves are doing, why things are going better, they're getting wins. Still concerns with the bullpen, Austin Riley coming in, and the fact that he has come in and just hit the baseball lights out every day since he's gotten off the bus from Gwinnett. Is that going to continue? Mark Simon's going to join us. We're going to talk some baseball conversation. You stay with us. It's on the way next on this Game Day Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, working up to the top of the hour. Time to talk some baseball now. And, of course, the Braves are home later on today. 1:20 game time. They're taking on Milwaukee Brewers and looking to wrap up that series with a win the day before they hit the road for the West Coast in San Francisco. And let's talk some baseball. The guy joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline from Sports Info Solutions, Mark Simon. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Great talking with you. I don't know how much you've been watching. I know I chatted back and forth with you on Twitter last night. You were watching the Braves against Milwaukee. I guess a little bit of a microcosm of what we've seen this season in that game last night. A solid start. A lead going late, bullpen blew a save, but we still pull it out. Your thoughts about what you saw, and is that kind of what we've been seeing a lot of here in Atlanta?
Yeah, and you need wins like that. I think if you look at what separates you from the Nationals and from the Mets at this point, it's that you're getting games like that, and the Nationals and Mets are not, and that great players rise to the occasion when they are most needed. I was very impressed that Freddie hit that home run because Josh Hader's impossible to hit. I did have a good number to kind of start off the discussion, that Freddie Freeman, if you look at active players, and even if you look back beyond active players, is one of the best hitters of left-handed pitching among left-handed hitters. That's the toughest left-handed pitcher to hit. And he has the highest OPS against left-handed pitching for left-handed hitters. And the guy doesn't show any signs of slowing down. He's 29. He's a little past his prime. But, boy, that was impressive. And that's circle that one, as Tim Kirkchen would say, circle that one, because that's one that might separate you from the others when you look back on the season.
Wow, spending some time with Mark Simon. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says, at Mark A. Simon Says, talking with this baseball team. We had an addition this week. I brought up Austin Riley from Gwinnett, much anticipated. And all he's done is just ripped the cover off the baseball since he's been here. Thoughts about the Braves adding a new face like that at this stage of the season?
Well, that was impressive. The home run yesterday was pretty good. It doesn't surprise me that he's off to a great start, considering his pedigree and considering what he was doing at AAA before he came up. It reminded me a little bit of Pete Alonso on the Mets, who got off to a similar kind of start right at the beginning. The league's going to catch him at some point, and I think what you hope is that he makes the adjustment to whatever the league does fairly quickly. Right now, the league doesn't have him yet. He looks pretty good. And I think you ride that wave for as long as you can. You keep hoping that you can put distance between you guys and the other teams so long as he keeps hitting the ball like he does and Freddie keeps hitting the ball like he does and some of the others keep doing it as well.
I think the other thing you want to know about Austin is that we're starting him in left field. Third base is really his you know, seen as the position that'll be his destination as a big league player. And we also haven't seen him really put to the test defensively out and left that much, too. That's something else still that we're kind of waiting to see and see how he does there. But long-term, it looks like he's here to stay.
Yeah, kind of like Acuna, kind of like Albies. Boy, it's nice to have young, good players and accumulate them in bulk and to have three guys that are 22 or younger that look like they're going to be stars, that look like they're going to be future Freddies, I guess, so to speak. That's a good core, certainly, to build around for the future.
Spend some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Mark Simon. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says. Mark A. Simon Says. Our bullpen, it reared its ugly head, some this weekend. And I mean, we had 12 runs and had to hang on to it for a 12-8 win because of the bullpen. Thoughts about what should happen there? This bullpen by committee, how long do you go along with that before you really have to get somebody to solidify things on the back end of it?
But you're not the only team that has that issue. There seems to be a lot of teams that can't find anyone. And it's crazy to me that they've used, I'm taking Charlie Culberson out, but they've used 22 pitchers already this season. That's a lot. You got to keep looking for the right combination. Try again with Jerry Blevins, I guess, so to speak. I don't blame Luke Jackson for yesterday. He got the two choppers. Balls just happened to bounce in the wrong spot. I guess I would say get someone. There are guys, I think, still out there. We know who they are. And keep trying guys out and just hope that your guys are a little bit better than me. I can assuredly say that just about every team has this issue. That pitching, bullpen pitching depth is hard to find.
Talking about the division now, and while the Braves are playing well, they're still a game and a half back of Philadelphia. Mets like five and a half back, but the Braves are right there. Phillies. Thoughts about what's happening in Philadelphia? It's still a while before the Braves will see these guys again. They're going to see the Nationals in a few days. But thoughts about the rest of the division and how you see things shaking out so far in the NL East?
Yeah, the Phillies are the best team. I think it's not necessarily clear, but I think it will become clear over the long run. When they have Segura, who's been kind of a spark for them since they got him, when they have him, they're really good. That's the other thing. Bryce Harper hasn't played up to expectations yet, and they're already a game and a half up. He's hitting 230 with eight home runs. They have a good top of the rotation with Nola, who also hasn't really gotten going yet, and Arrieta, who's been up and down. And they've gotten some surprises with Eichhoff. They have the same kind of open questions, I think. They've used 20 pitchers already this season. I think what you're playing for, if you're Atlanta, is you're trying to hang in as long as you can there. But in the end, I think you're playing for that lead wild card, second wild card spot. I think if you look at it, if Bryce Harper plays like Bryce Harper, I think the Phillies are a little bit better than the Braves.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning. Mark Simon joins us. He's from Sports Info Solutions. And as you said, he gave us great information about Freddie Freeman and the way he bets against left-handed pitcher. I got the big home run last night against Josh Hader to get things done for the Braves. Taking on Milwaukee. Talk about the teams the Braves have faced now. They really had some tests. Dodgers, D-backs, Cardinals, now Milwaukee. And I don't know what you can deserve with the team, but they've it's a chance to do some fact-finding and really find out what you made up.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think the Dodgers are clearly the class of the National League. They hit the ball, they pitch it, and they actually, one thing that they do that I think might go a little under-recognized is they catch the ball really well. They have arguably the best set of defensive players in the game. I think they're, as I said, the class of the National League. I think that the Brewers are one of the teams that you'll be competing with in September. I had them as like an 84-win team. I think you give or take a couple of wins either way, it puts them in the playoffs or it doesn't. I like what they have because they have a really good lineup. They might not necessarily have the starting pitching to compete. I think I'm looking at the rest of the schedule here for the Braves. I think that the Cardinals, that it was good to get the two wins against them and got them at the right time. I actually think they could be, if they were fully going, the second best team in the NL, but they've kind of hit a skid. The Diamondbacks have been very good, and to sweep them in Arizona, that's a nice get. I would feel pretty good about that. 1-7-8, and you've done it against three teams that so far this season I like, and then you get the Giants next, which should be good because they can't hit at all, as you'll see, I think, when you play them. I would feel good about them. I would feel good about the strength of schedule that you've played so far, and you swept the Cubs earlier this season too, so that I think that looks pretty good.
Right. Well, we'll watch for that to see what happens as they take flight out to San Francisco for the next few days. But we thank you for spending some time and dropping some knowledge on us, as always, this morning, Mark. Always great to hear from you.
You got it.
All right, that is Mark Simon. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says Sports Info Solutions. Guy's got the stats to back up everything, so it's great. Brings that to us for baseball here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Headed for the next hour, we're going to get to some NBA. We'll talk about that and more on this fight last night took place. Heavyweight title fight. Can we get the heavyweight title fight and get the two guys we want to see? Can we get them, please? But before we do that, I'm going to get you a chance to get some cash in your pocket. Call it the casting call, and it's straight ahead on a game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios. It is a game day Sunday. Why? Because our Atlanta Braves are going to be in action later on today. 1:20 game time. They wrap up the weekend series with the Milwaukee Brewers after the dramatic walk-off home run from Freddie Freeman last night. Can they get it done? We'll see. See if they get it done later on today. Of course, Atlanta United later on today as well. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking on New York Red Bulls. Pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 5. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will be on the call to see if Atlanta United can continue its amazing role. They've got things turned around, and they're rolling in the direction that we're accustomed to seeing them go in. And can they get it done again today? We will see. We'll see if that happens. Last night, something took place, and I don't know how many of you watched it, or if you blinked, you missed it, and that was the heavyweight title fight. And the heavyweight title fights used to be these celebrated events that everyone wanted to kind of stand still for a minute and watch. It's the WBC version, and it's held by Deontay Wilder, who hails from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and has been to Atlanta on numerous occasions, not to fight, but to train some and to visit. Matter of fact, he's visited us here in the Kia Studios. I'm bringing the heavyweight title belt. Have you ever seen a boxing championship belt before? I bet we actually seen one, and the one he has, and he carries it in a briefcase. Much like someone who's going to work in one of the high-rise buildings here in wonderful Midtown. I guess you may have a laptop in there, whatever you may think is in there. And he brought it in for Greg and I to see it on the show one weekend morning. And here he is, brings in this briefcase. He opens it up, and poof, that's a championship belt in the briefcase. Pretty. Greg said, reminded me of something out of Pulp Fiction. He's walking around this briefcase, and inside is the heavyweight champion. Very impressive to see. Last night, though, folks, it didn't take you long to see what took place. Matter of fact, here at the station, we run a legal ID that takes about 28 seconds. What happened in this fight took less time.
For having the character to throw with him and
Yep. 8 seconds. 8 seconds. And that was the fight. Hits Dominic Brazil with the right hand, and it was done. Listen for it. You can hear the punch.
For having the character to throw with him and
so hard, they are feeling it in Brazil.
2:27, and that's for the folks at Showtime. 2:17 of round one, and that was it. His ninth WBC title offense, defense since capturing that title in 2015. He's now 41-0-1 with 40 KOs. And our question is, after this, what's next? What's next? And how long are we going to have to wait to see the fight that we really want to see between, Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua? That's the fight that I want to see. I mean, sure, there's another rematch. There's a rematch out there with Tyson Fury, possibly. And they fought to a draw late last year, which was exciting. That was good for boxing. Can we get more of that? Maybe we'll have that one. But can we at least get a fight that we want to see? To me, that's been the problem with boxing, the alphabet soup of boxing, and how many different titles there are, how many different championship belts there are, different versions of it. And who's aligned with what promoter? You know, that's the other thing. Who's aligned with that? And who's a television network or broadcast rights to the fight? That matters. And all of those things prevent us from getting the fight that we really want to see. I'm not saying we can take it back to the good old days of Wide World of Sports and you watch it for free on Saturday afternoon. I understand that. I totally understand that's not coming back. But I think you can at least make the fight that the fans want to see, especially if it's for the good of the sport. Everybody's making money. Everybody's making money. You know, why not do something that's for the good of the sport and provide the kind of platform that people want to see the very best go at it instead of saying, well, here's the next guy in line, or here's somebody else that's the third ranked or the fourth ranked or the fifth ranked. Dominic Brazil surely was no test for Deontay Wilder last night. And we, as you just heard, the lights went out real quick. the folks at Showtime, I don't know how they filled up the rest of their broadcast time after that happened so early in the first round. But Wilder's an imposing figure, 6'7", has a long reach, and so it's hard to get away from him if you're in the ring with him. But, I mean, he just came in and just swung with the right one time, and it was a done deal. Tyson Fury would be interesting to see he and Wilder fight again. I guess the problem with that is that Tyson Fury has signed some type of a co-promotional deal with Top Rank. I believe that is Bob Arum, and with ESPN, some type of exclusive deal there. So, I mean, that would probably prevent the two of them from getting into the ring anytime soon. And the same is kind of thing for Anthony Joshua, that he has a deal with someone. Matter of fact, Joshua has a fight coming up soon. He's scheduled to fight June 1st in New York against Andy Ruiz Jr. It's a 12-rounder, and he has the other four versions of the title. He has a WBO, WBA, and IBF versions of the heavyweight title. Can we get a unification fight to put that all together? To me, that would be, you know, enjoyable, something we would look forward to, and something great for boxing and something great to for the heavyweight division. Not saying you're bringing it all the way back to the days of Mike Tyson or even to the time of Lennox Lewis, but at least you're going to have it back to a point where people will look at and expect something and have some anticipation and get it back on the map and back where it ought to be. You know, of course, the middleweights are what we watch. We're getting what we want, we think, from the middleweights. When there's a bout that needs to be made, we think we're getting those. But from the biggest division, heavyweight division, the guys that always have produced, you know, the memorable moments when it comes to the fight. And there's a guy that Wilder has fought that was in the ring last night, just, I guess, happened to be in the neighborhood, dropped in, Luis Ortiz, who Wilder beat, and it was a pretty good fight when they fought before. He just happened to be in the neighborhood and stepped up into the ring after the fight and says, yeah, I want to congratulate Deontay Wilder on a great performance. I came here from Miami to see this fight, and I don't know if that will be next, but Deontay Wilder is the only one who can say for sure if that fight is going to be next. I guess talking about a fight between the two of them. Again, of course, we've seen that before. You want to see something we hadn't seen before. You know, at least I do anyway, especially after last night. It's something that may take a little bit longer than what we saw last night. That's what I'd like to see happen. I mean, we know how we watched our fighters down through the years come through the Olympic and box on the U.S. national team. We get to see them go through the Olympic trials. We get to watch them fight in the Olympics and then see them take off with their professional careers. And we've seen that happen through boxers. Oh, all down from Ali to Frazier, to Foreman, the Sugar Ray Leonard, the Evander Holyfield. We've seen Roy Jones. We've seen that. And so we look to kind of follow some of those fighters. That was the path for so many years. Mike Tyson's path was a bit different from that. Did not participate on the Olympic team, but still he had that something extra that made you watch, something extra that you didn't want to miss it. Something extra that made you drop $50 even after he was done, basically. You were still hoping to see the baddest man on the planet, the baddest man in the planet that left the room. But because of what you had seen, you were hoping to see it. Probably about 10 years after he was gone, but people still wanted to see it. So that's the whole thing. Can we capture this? Can we capture this for the boxing fan, just for the sports fan, and for the good of the sport? That's what I would.
Having the character to throw with him and oh!
Wilder hit Brazil so hard they are feeling it in Brazil.
I just can't get any better than that. That was big fun. That was big fun. That sounded like something out back from the day of Mike Tyson. That's what it reminds you of when a guy can deliver a one shot like that and make it happen. Just tremendous to see that happen last night. And hopefully we get a chance to catch up with Deontay Wilder. You know, we get a chance if he comes to town. We get him to stop back by the Kia Studios, and maybe he'll bring that briefcase with him again. with the championship belt in it. I promise you never think that it would be inside it. Because usually you see the belt, guys either got it around his waist or he's got it thrown over his shoulder when they walk in. And that's how we used to see guys with championship belts. That's how they usually do it. But I'm telling you, folks, he walked in with his briefcase, and I don't know what I thought was in the briefcase, but he opens it up and says, "We said, oh, that's the championship belt." And if it's, you know, I'd never seen one before, never seen heavyweight championship belt. Greg hadn't seen one before, and we were like, whoa, just impressed by that with Deontay Wilder. So hopefully we get a chance to see him again soon, but more than anything, hopefully we get to see him in the ring. You know, getting ready to take on, you know, if it's Tyson Fury, okay. We really want to see him with the fight with Anthony Joshua. And so we'll see. Seems like if he has to take this fight again that's coming up this year with Luis Ortiz just to stay active and you get out and fight again this year, I guess. But, I mean, you know, you want to see him go ahead and get it done. He's 33 years old now. And not saying that's old for a heavyweight fighter at all. We saw George Foreman come back and win the heavyweight championship in his 40s. So, I mean, that's. But do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait, you know, all this time to have these fights that you really, really, really want to see? So that's the thing that's allowed MMA and UFC to surpass boxing in so many ways, because they always made the fights that people wanted to see. The next one was there. Now, you didn't hold on to the titles nearly as long because, you know, you're fighting the next person up, and people got a chance to figure out what they do to diffuse that thing, the move that you make. That's happened a lot with that. So usually boxing titles are held a tad bit longer, you know, mostly because you hope they were held longer because of great title defenses, not because they held longer because they only fight twice a year. So that's the other thing that we're hoping it will change as we go forward. We'll look to see if it happens. That's the thing. That's one fight we're talking about. Another fight we've been talking about has been the NBA playoffs. And, you know, coming up tonight, we're going to get to see a game 3 of Milwaukee and Toronto. A Milwaukee team that has surprised a lot of people with what they're made of. They're not just one person. They're not just one person. They have a strong team and a deep bench. And right now, they're clicking on all cylinders. They're playing incredible basketball. The thing of it is, can anything slow them down? Can even playing outside of the country, playing in Toronto, can that slow Milwaukee down? We don't know. We're going to find out today. You know, the Raptors coming in after eliminating Philadelphia. Kawhi Leonard has had a tremendous postseason. Milwaukee has shown that they can do some things defensively to make it frustrating for him and force others to beat them, and they didn't come along with them Friday night. You know, Milwaukee has shown they can go out and put up points just like we've seen Golden State put up points. They scored 64 points in the first half in their last game out. So it's more than just Giannis. Yes, it's him, but it's more than just him. And they're getting ready, you know. We'll see what happens later on today. Coming up next, we're going to talk about that and more. Bo Estes from NBA.com is going to join us. We're going to talk NBA playoffs, lottery draw, and more as we continue on this game day Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Beautiful Sunday morning. Looking out here in lovely Midtown Atlanta. Hope all is well wherever you are. Of course, the NBA playoffs are rolling on. We've been talking about them this morning. And a guy who's really got his eye on it and keeps up with it closely joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Bo Estes from NBA.com. Bo, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing, Sam?
Doing great. Now I'm talking to you. Talk about what we're seeing with this Golden State team, that even without Kevin Durant, it seems like they're going out kind of proving a point. We don't have to have Durant in order to beat you.
Well, I think that's a real issue for particularly fans out there, because if you go back historically and look, they lost that 3-1 lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers and went out and got, you know, perhaps what is now the best player in the NBA in Kevin Durant, and he came in and won 2 finals MVPs in a row. But this Golden State Warriors team was able to shift back into that 2015 mode in a hurry. It's a different style of basketball without Kevin Durant. They move quicker. They share the ball more, and it's more Steph Curry-led. And I think for fans, that's particularly enjoyable. I was trying to think of historical comparisons. I mean, imagine a team losing a frontline star like a Kevin Durant and still going through and winning. Is it the early 2000s Lakers if they lost Shaq and still kept winning with Kobe? Is it, you know, the Spurs losing David Robinson or Tim Duncan and still going through and winning? I mean, it's just hard to imagine a team that could lose a star like Kevin Durant and just keep cruising. Now, to me, Golden State's matchup with Portland is very favorable. I think it's 9 straight that they've won in the playoffs over the Portland Trail Blazers, and with word that Damian Lillard is hurt now, you know, you can understand it a bit more, but don't take away anything from this Golden State squad. They are proven champions, and what you're watching now is a historically great all-time team.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Bo Estes. You can follow him on Twitter at NBA Bo, at NBA Bo. That said, any clue when we might see Durant again?
Well, you know, when they first announced the injury, it was 1 week. We'll review it in 1 week. They've said 1 week again. But you're hearing hints of him being definitely out for the Western Conference Finals, and I'd say that's true now. Why even bring him back at this point? They're up 3-0 in this series. Nobody loses a 3-0 lead, particularly this team against Portland. So I don't think there is a rush. You know, it's a calf injury, and it's one of those things that they graded out as mild on the MRI, but perhaps it's closer to moderate. You see people miss 4 weeks with an injury like that. If it's 4 weeks, he's done. The Warriors haven't said anything like that, but I will tell you this. Looking at the two teams in the Eastern Conference, that's a different animal than the Portland Trail Blazers. So I think, you know, if you look ahead, they're going to need Kevin Durant at some point. They've only needed him the last 2 seasons for 1 series in June, honestly. That's really the truth. That's when they needed Kevin Durant, and I think that could be true this year again. Could they beat a Milwaukee or Toronto without him? I think it could happen, but I think it's so much harder, and it's made so much easier if Durant's there.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitforit.com outline with Bo Estes. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter. He is social. He's a social person. You can follow him at NBA Bo, at NBA Bo. You talked about the guys in the East. Really impressed with what Milwaukee is doing. I'm curious to see what Toronto is going to throw at them playing in Toronto, because Milwaukee was very impressive in the last game we saw them Friday night.
Yeah, it's tough because Milwaukee is really, really, really huge. They're a giant team they can throw out there. I mean, you look at a lineup, they'll throw Brook Lopez at 7 foot, Giannis at 6'11", Nikola Mirotic at 6'10", the all-star Chris Middleton at 6'8". And then Eric Bledsoe at 6'1", he's a small-ish point guard, but they don't have to go with him at point guard. They can go with the kid out of GAC, too. So, I mean, this team can be gigantic. Kawhi Leonard, don't take anything away from him. He's been brilliant in this series. The others have not come along with him. Pascal Siakam has been a second option, and he didn't even hit double figures last game. Kyle Lowry had a poor shooting game. I believe he was 4-13 the last game. Mark Gasol, 1 of 9 last game. Kawhi Leonard just needs some help because he can't go it alone against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, honest to God, Mike Budenholzer has a team up there that is a bunch of monsters. This is a team that you know, in some respects, you could think of as the future of the NBA, and their future may be right now. Honestly, if they get in a series with the Golden State Warriors and Golden State isn't 100%, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Milwaukee give it to them. They are really that good.
When you talk about that, I keep thinking about matchups and how this Golden State team has always caused matchup issues for their opponents. Now here's a team that's going to cause some matchup issues potentially for them.
I think so. I mean, like, even if you look back at Golden State's 73-win season, and it's a different lineup, but the thing that they had to contend with was size on the perimeter caused a problem for them. And, you know, if you think of switches and stuff like that, Milwaukee could throw guys at them that are just enormous. Now, Milwaukee tends to go under screens on defense. It's tough to go under screens against Golden State because they'll just shoot you right out of that. But if your guy going under a screen is 6'11", Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe you can live that way because he can just reach out and touch somebody with his arms that reach to the moon. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see if it is Milwaukee. And, you know, we'll get an idea soon. If they win today, then they're going to win it. And like I said earlier, teams just don't lose 3-0 leads in the NBA playoffs. So I think that it's going to be fascinating if those two teams play each other, how Golden State handles the size, and particularly if Durant's out at all for this series, because Golden State is not a big team without Durant. They really aren't. I mean, it's Steph at 6'3", Clay at 6'7". That's fine, but Draymond's really a 6'6". Andre Iguodala's a 6'7", and he's hurt now. It's not a gigantic team. So, you know, they'll rev up the tempo like they do without Kevin Durant and scramble it around and move the ball really fast. But I just don't know how those two teams will clash with the enormous size of Milwaukee.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Bo Estes from NBA.com. And you know what, Bo, we're talking about the games that are being played, and there's still basketball to be played. But, man, all the stuff in the background, stuff off the court. In a word, I think I said, the offseason for the NBA shapes up to be delicious. When you think about all the different things that could take place for free agency and trades, and, oh, by the way, the lottery draw that took place this week. You just talked about Kawhi Leonard. If he doesn't have enough to go with him, is he out of there? Is that could he stay, or is he going? Those are the things I think you start looking at, and you start asking those questions now.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because my bosses say there is no off season in the NBA now, and I believe that's really true. I think, you know, we deal with a league that is 12 months a year, 365 days a year. Christmas. That's just the way it goes. And the intrigue is half the battle. You know, the whole season, everybody's been talking about, where will Kevin Durant be next year? Where will Kawhi Leonard be next year? Are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving trying to team up? How's that going? So even as we're watching a team that is taking their place in a historic conversation in the Golden State Warriors, you know, if they get that three-peat, they join an elite group. And that pursuit is happening right now. You know, there's that draft lottery with Zion Williamson going on and everybody talking about that. Will Zion play in the NBA or will he go back to Duke? Now, that's a silly argument, but that was a conversation as well. The NBA is, you know, as much a conversation as it is games on the court. And it is fascinating for me to have seen that growth. And it's fun for fans, I think. I think it's a ton of fun. And even if you're a team like the Atlanta Hawks, a local team that is growing and trying to find their window like the Golden State Warriors did, there's a place in that conversation for you as well, too.
They got eight. They drew eight, and a lot of people groaned when they saw that eight come up. Was it 8 and 10? What are you thinking? Have you seen anybody up at the combine, guys working out, that you think might be a good fit for the direction this Hawks team is going?
Well, it's interesting with the Hawks because I don't know, you know, there's a couple things in play. One, you know, how do they feel about the guys that they have? You know, Torian Prince, are they gonna try to extend him this summer or wait for next year and see, you know, and get a little bit more information on him? But I do think there are guys. They gave up more points than anybody in the league last year, Sam. They gave up over 119 points a game. So defense could be a priority. There's a kid at Texas named Jackson Hayes, 6'11", sort of reminds me a bit of Clint Capella in that he's a rim runner in this league, and Trae Young throws alley-oop passes about as good as anybody. Oh, look, rookie year, he's fourth in the league in assists. So I think he could be an interesting pick. The kid out of Texas Tech, Jarrett Culver, I like him a lot. Where would he fit in a Hawks lineup? I mean, I think you're just accumulating talent at this point. But this is a guy who has all sorts of skill. He can pass the ball. He could shoot it in his freshman year. He was a better shooter than he was in his sophomore year. He was 38% his freshman year. He was 30% his sophomore year. So I like him a lot. Then you start looking at other guys. I mean, is it Brandon Clark, a great, great athlete out of Gonzaga, and where would he fit in? Rui Hachimura from the same team, you know, same size player, but a little bit different. Or could you take a flyer, a kid like Bol Bol, who's 7'2" out of Oregon and can shoot the ball as well? There are options for the Hawks, and that's before you even get into packaging and trading and stuff like that. So I think they're in a good position. I think Hawks fans can't expect for them to be in a championship conversation next year, and I think realistically they don't. But, you know, 2 years, 3 years, that's when their window starts to open, and they've got a superstar, a young superstar in Trae Young. So I think it's an exciting time to be a Hawks fan.
All right. Well, Bo, we thank you for dropping some knowledge and spending some time with us. Always good catching up with you. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Always a pleasure chatting with you, Sam. Take care, buddy.
All right. That is Bo Estes. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at NBA Bo, at NBA Bo. He's with NBA.com, giving us some knowledge, getting us set for the NBA playoffs that continue later on today. All right, coming up, got one more segment. Going to get you set for everything that's happening on this game day Sunday before we hand it off to John Chuckery at the top of the hour. You stay with us on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning outside. Working our way up to the top of the hour. And John Chuckery comes your way at 10 a.m. It's just been me and been Greg on the other side of the glass. This next week, we'll have Greg back on this side of the glass. And he says he's stockpiling some stuff up that he wants to bring. It's going to get real interesting. It could get sideways, too. So you make sure you want to be with us next weekend when he comes back on this side of the glass where I am. Don't forget to follow us all week long here on Sports Radio 929 The Game at our website, 929thegame.com, where you find any episodes of any shows that you missed, any interviews with the leaders in sports that we talk to on a daily basis here. If you want to hear from them and personalities, players, coaches, front office, administrators, why you want to ask the questions, why are certain things being done, why are certain things not being done, we ask those questions each and every day here. You can get those answers and hear them on our website, as long as seeing pictures, photographs, and podcasts, and so much more there for you on our website, 929thegame.com. Also, if you're a social person, I am a social person, if you're a social person, we're on social media as well at 929 The Game for Twitter, for Facebook, and for Instagram. And that is all coming up next. And also, you stick around coming up at the top of the hour, just before the top of the hour, when we get to the casting call, something special for Hope Scholars. If you've been involved with the Hope Scholarship at all, if it's touched your life in any type of way, or a relative or a friend, this being graduation time, a lot of people will be benefiting from Hope Scholarship or have benefited from it. Greg has something very, very special for you coming up. So stay tuned in a very few minutes and we have that for you. Braves are home today. Last night they had a dramatic walk-off home run win by Freddie Freeman. 4-3 the final score in 10. And so even after some difficulties with the bullpen, they still managed to get the win last night. Kevin Gausman had a solid start, and that was good to see. Went 6 innings, scattered 6 hits, 2 runs, 4 strikeouts, and the Braves are still a game and a half behind Philadelphia, keeping those guys within striking distance. You want to keep up with them and not let them get too far away from you. Mike Buldanovich is going to start today. And, man, you know, where do we start when we talk about him? We know what he's capable of doing. We know when he was healthy last year, what he brought to the starting rotation for this team. And we know what we hope for this season. So far, he's 0-3 and, you know, has showed us flashes of what we saw last season. We're still waiting to see him go out and put it all together. And that's what we're looking for today at 1:20 when they go to wrap things up and finish the series off against the Milwaukee Brewers. A tough team coming in, and the Brewers – a team that gave the Braves a very difficult time last season, but the Braves have come in and found a way to get the best of this Brew crew, and they want to finish it up the right way today if they can. They're going to have Brandon Woodruff on the mound for Milwaukee. He's 6-1, ERA 1.20. That's strong. That's strong, but the Braves will be looking for a great crowd to come out this Sunday afternoon and possibly help them get wins before they take off for San Francisco to take on the Giants this week. Mike Soroka is due to be the starter for the first game out on the West Coast coming up tomorrow. But first things first, you want to get a win before you head out of town today. Atlanta United, of course, is playing in New Jersey against the New York Red Bulls. And we spent some time this morning talking with Doug Robertson from AJC and AJC.com. He keeps an eye on things with Atlanta United and felt like the thing that this team is doing is everyone's clicking on the same cylinders right now, and some guys are stepping in when some other players have to take a breather and get a rest. And we talked about some guys like Darlington Nagby and Michael Parkhurst, who, sat this week's midweek game up at Vancouver out. They sat that one out so they'd be rested and have their legs be good and fresh for a team that has really been a thorn in the side in many ways for Atlanta United and this Red Bulls team. To me, they are our rival. I know we want to market and promote Orlando as a team that's the rival for us because of proximity, and obviously their fans love to come up when they play here, and our folks love to go down there when it's time to play them. But this Red Bulls team, to me, it's been a lot more personal with this Red Bulls team. And so that's the one I'm watching coming up today. And you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, the pregame show is at 4:30. The kickoff is at 5. Mike Conte, Jason Longshore will have the call for you coming up later on today. You want to make sure and watch for that. And Doug Robertson says he's staying at the airport. He's not near anywhere with any great New Jersey dining or any great food. I think he says there's a Chili's somewhere nearby. So you can get that at home, Doug. Just order room service and bring us back the win. That's what we want. Bring the win back when you come back home. Also today, the PGA Championship. Will it be around? Will it be competitive at all? Or will it be just a big victory lap for Brooks Koepka? I think it'll be the victory lap. He's not taking it that way. Everything you hear him say, or you see that he's written that he said from yesterday, is he plans to keep his foot, on the gas pedal, be full steam ahead, leave nothing to chance. And what could be shaping up to be a historic day after historic four rounds. If he goes wire to wire and wins this thing, he's at 12 under par after even par 70 yesterday. But it's the opening two rounds that have him in that position, a 63 in the first day and a 65 in the second day. He's at 12 under par in a course that everyone said when the week began, you'd be lucky to see four or five under win it. Well, now we got four golfers at five under, but there's seven shots off the lead. Koepka's just doing something that wasn't supposed to be done this week. But he's gone about it in a rather methodical way and just looks like a machine out there. Whatever the situation that he's faced with, he seems to have the answers. And looking to write his name and then the record book more today if he goes out there and can close the deal and get the win. Looking at being the second golfer to win back-to-back PGAs. Tiger Woods done it twice. And five have won it wire to wire. Hal Sutton, Raymond Floyd, Jack Nicklaus, Bobby Nichols. He's getting ready to join some really rare company. First golfer to win back-to-back PGAs and back-to-back U.S. Opens in a career. And he's just on. I mean, and the rough is really rough. Your ball lands in that thing, looks like it's in some cabbage. And he's still able to dig it out there and put it in position to score. Don't see any reason why that should change today. So Brooks Koepka looks to, you want to call it a coronation, or you want to call it a celebration or whatever. But he is looking forward to putting himself in that position to be that guy going forward to the other major tournaments, still at the U.S. Open and the Open Championship to go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.